Mark.
Hi, I just got on. Yes, it wasn't on.
Okay, thank you, Hannah.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
So our class today is continuing our advanced reincarnation classes. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to class 24A, and it will open up to chapter 21, section 2, titled Causing Defects to the Name of Hashem. Does anybody have any questions before we begin?
Well, I missed getting the reference of the scripture for the north of Heshron. I thought I heard you today say First Kings, but I didn't hear the chapter and the verse. And yesterday I thought I heard 16:3, but I didn't hear the chapter, or the book, rather.
I'm confused on your question. You didn't hear something,
okay.
It broke up, but are we talking about this class right now?
No, just classes in general. So maybe my question is out of order. But I purposely listened.
It's not out of order. Good afternoon. Your question is not out of order. I'm just trying to understand. You're saying
okay, the prayers that we say for each one of the years. And because last month we said the verse that had to do with Tishrei. And a couple of days ago, you started reading another one for the month of Heshvan.
Right. So now I will tell you where to find that.
Okay.
Because in an earlier class, I did explain it, but that's fine.
Well, I could have missed it, so.
There is on every page, or most of the pages, there is a link to the summary of the various years. You're familiar with that page?
Yes.
Okay. If you scroll down that page to where you are used to seeing the verse that we discussed for Tishrei, above that verse, there is a link that I'm not looking at it directly, but I think essentially it says that these verses start with a hey and end with a tet. And when you open that, it will give you a Bible verses inquiry, and you'll find that there are 13 of them, and we're doing the second one. But that is where you will find it until I have time to bring that each one of those each month onto the summary page.
Okay, thank you. I'll look.
No problem. Are there any other questions? Okay, causing defect to the name of Hashem. Now you can appreciate the impact of Adam's sin, which caused destruction and blemish in all the worlds for all generations. It is based upon what we have said, that according to the greatness of the soul is the extent of the damage. Adam's sin caused the destruction and blemish in all the worlds for all generations. Therefore, a light sin by completely righteous and pious people, such as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, is considered as severe as many sins by another person. Thus, one who only possesses the nefesh of Asiyah can only cause damage to the Asiyah, since that is as far as his hand can reach. Therefore, he only has to do teshuvah on the level of Asiyah, since that is all he damaged. The example of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is specific. For one, he is one of the outstanding characters of the grand root of Cain, which is an underlying theme of the whole compilation of the Gates of Reincarnation. Furthermore, an intrinsic quality of this root is to sometimes seem very pious and yet be quite the opposite. And if we click on the link for the number 7 footnote, it says, Cain murdered his brother and then made himself out to be innocent. So we see that the intrinsic quality of this root is to sometimes seem very pious and yet be quite the opposite. Also, Rabbi Yochanan was known to be entirely righteous, yet he is reported as having approached death with great trepidation, not being sure if he would therefore be led to heaven or to purgatory. The reason is here explained. According to his towering plateau, even a small defect is considered serious. What comes out of this is that one must constantly scrutinize his actions. If ascending causes you to be put under a microscope and subject to rigid standards, why try at all? The answer is that the benefits of the ascent are well worth it. The higher you go, the higher state of consciousness you achieve. My commentary. I think this spiritual truth needs to be phrased differently for our students, even if it is a translation of the Arizal's words. Also, I do not find the answer given by Rabbi Auerbach sufficient. Each judgment is always relative to the soul involved. This means on a practical level that two men get into a verbal fight with a friend in two different cities at the same time on the same day. Both of these men are born on the same day at the same time of day, yet in two different cities. This fight is considered a mistake, a sin for both of them. That night, one is given a delay in his marriage date. This is mida keneged mida, measure for measure, since fighting is the tikkun that he and his wife will be given to work upon in this lifetime. Since he was unable to stop fighting, he does not merit to marry yet. The other one receives no change. He will marry as scheduled in the plan of creation. Why is there a difference? The one receiving the delay is on a higher level of consciousness and therefore is expected to not fight on this subject. He knows better on the spiritual level, and his ability to control his reactions should have been on a higher level, while the person who did not receive any change was not expected to control his reactions. Tikkun and the result of tikkun is always relative. Returning to the writing. With respect of the question, why should I strive to grow to a higher level, since I will be evaluated with a closer knife of judgment, so to speak, the answer is not, I promise you it is worth it. The answer is we all will return to the endless world to the same level that we started. If we do not do the spiritual work, we do not arrive at that level that we started, and thus need to reincarnate again and again until we do. This is where the idea that some people have achieved completion of their tikkun, yet come back to this world to grow to a higher level. This just means that the higher level is where they should be when we all return to the endless world. We have already spoken about how the four letters of Hashem's name divide into the four worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, that each letter divides again. The letter Yud corresponds to Atzilut and links to the expansion of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that equals 72. The letter that He corresponds to Briah and aligns with the expansion that equals 63. The Vav corresponds to Yetzirah and associates with the expansion that equals 45. The final He corresponds to Asiyah and connects to the expansion that equals 52. God enlivens everything by way of his names. My commentary. The name of 72 is Yud-Bab-Dalad-He-Yud-Vav-Yud-Vav-He-Yud. composed of 10 letters which connect to the 10 sephirot within the sephirah of Chokhmah, which relates to the name of 72 and the world of Atzilut. The gematria of these 10 letters is 72, as you can see from the handout. The gematria katan, or small gematria, is 36. Do you now know why there are always 36 tzaddikim in the world? There are 36 concealed tzaddikim and 36 revealed tzaddikim in the world at any given time. The name of 63 is also composed of 10 letters which connect to the 10 sephirot within the sephirah of Bina, which relates to the name of 63 and the world of Briah. The gematria of those 10 letters is 63 instead of 72. The gematria, the small gematria, is also 36. Do you know why there are always 36 tzaddikim in the world? Actually, there are 36 concealed tzaddikim and 36 revealed tzaddikim in the world at any given time. The concealed tzaddikim belong to the world of Atzilut, and the revealed tzaddikim belong to the world of Briah. The name of 45 also has 10 letters, and these connect to the 10 sephirot within the world of Sephirah of Zeranpin, which relates to the name of 63 and the world of Yetzirah. The gematria is 45. The small gematria is also 36. You now know why there are 36 candles lit during Hanukkah. The name of 52 has 9 letters, which correspond to the 9 sephirot of Yesod of Zeranpin, which represents what is generally thought of as heaven. This connects to the world of Malchut or Asiyah. Do you know why Asiyah has a larger number than Zeranpin? Isn't less more? Gematria is 52. The small gematria is 42. Do you know why the name of 42 is used to create the physical world of action known as Asiyah? God and his name are one, and you enliven them all. God enlivens everything by way of his names. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the central name. It literally means existence giver. Its varied expansions are the batteries for all the worlds. And it does not stop at this. Each detail within each world derives its life force from the expansions. In short, from the most colossal macrocosmic to the most infinitesimal microcosmic, all of reality derives its actuality from the infinite light, clothed in the worlds via the medium of the names. The light dawns the names and is one with them. This is a verse from the Tanya. Therefore, by calling God through them, his light is drawn and manifests to a person. Just as by calling a person, his attention is drawn. This is a teaching of the of Rabbi his name will come to me. He's the author of the Likutei Moharan. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. The world's dividing out into Yud-Heh Vav-Heh with all of their details is aligned according to the root archetype source format of the supernal divine chariot. It has four sides with four angels flanking them. Each angel has four faces. Each face has four wings unto itself. And we have footnote 9. Altogether, there are 256. 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 wings on the chariot. This is hinted to in the verse, Ranu, for Jacob. Resh Nun Vav is 256. Returning to where we left off. So the names branch out, expand and cascade to being a root above for every single bit of reality below. This means that whatever anyone is doing at any given moment, in any place, in any situation, is all sourced in complex combinations of the divine name infrastructure. To better grasp the idea of how and what names do what, different pies have a different filling. Even if they have the same base, the taste and effect vary according to the filling. So the grand intrinsic name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is the basis of existence. Its manifestation in each part of existence varies according to how it is filled, otherwise called its expansions. Yud filling or yud expansion is quite delicious and is the highest of the expansions. Yud was used to create the world that is coming because of its lofty root. It so is always used for filling of the expansion that enlivens the highest of worlds, of levels. Aleph is next in line. The last is the Hay. The name Yud Vav Dalet, Hay Yud, Vav Yud Vav, Hay Yud, Aleph Bet, which is 72, or Ayin Bet, is filled with yuds and so enlivens the highest world of Atzilut. Briya, the world beneath, is powered by Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud, which is Samach Gimel 63. Two of its letters are filled with Yud, and one is filled with Aleph, denoting a descent in the intensity of divinity from the team above it. Yetzirah is the next world down and is energized by Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph, Mem Hey, 45. All its letters feature Aleph filling. Last on the rung is Asiyah, which is fueled by Yud Vav Dalet Hey Hey, Vav Vav Hey Hey, which is Ben Bet Nun 52 filled with Hayes. In every case, there are filling letters that are constantly the same, but the quality of the name is determined by the ones that are subject to change. But if the very base of the pie is changed, all the more so it is different. There are infinite names through which the divine light expresses and runs the world. They all draw from the basic theme of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, existence giver, but each with its own nuance. For example, the name Echieh, it means I will be, and is the special existence giving power of self-renewal. Meditating on it draws on the soul revitalization, rejuvenation, and the power to change. Therefore, if a person damages all four worlds, it is as if he damages the great name. This is the secret of the verse. They went out and saw the carcasses of those who sinned in me. That is literally against my name. Each one according to the level of his soul is as explained. Picturing the letters can stir to make inventory and repair. Elsewhere, the Ari explains that when one meditates on Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and has a problem in depicting the name, it is a sign that he has caused defect in that letter by committing a sin that damaged that level. It so serves as a type of check to troubleshoot spiritual defects. All sins affect all of the letters, but each one is primarily rooted in one of the letters. Picturing the letters can stir to take inventory and repair. I am adding, just as the Ari explains the idea of using our meditations to teach us where and what we need to correct, we also can determine the same information from pronouncing the letters of the Zohar verses. When we go back to correct our pronunciation, we make the correction with mercy and not judgment. Sometimes it is not easy to pronounce the word from the Zohar verse. It may require several times and effort till we get it correct. Yet it is important, since it is the essential way to correct the mistake in our souls related to this word. It is important to build your ability to see the name by seeing all four letters simultaneously. This is not always easy to do. If you are unable to visualize four letters, then try to see three letters. And if not, then two. And if not, then one. And if not even one, try to see part of the letter or part of the yud. Slowly you can build the visualization to see all four letters completely. Then you will know that your tikkun is almost complete. His name partners with our name. Living soul is its name. One receives their allotted portion of manifest divinity and life force by way of his name, according to how one affects God's names by his actions. So is his own name a receptacle for the flow from above. Hence, when a person does teshuvah, he rectifies his great name, all four letters. This is the secret of the four divisions of atonement and the teshuvah for four types of sins. For four types of sins cause damage to the four letters of the Havaya and the four kinds of teshuvah, and atonement rectify the four letters of Havaya. As mentioned, any given mistake causes damage in the names, but there are certain transgressions that are primary, as if roots for all of the others that disturb a letter. All types of forgiveness come from the four grand letters. They divide and group into the four progressive categories that come from them. Learning their workings helps provide guidelines and a path of self-rectification. What comes out is that one can fix everything. Revelation of the name is then able to manifest and shine to the self. From this comes expanded consciousness. Footnote. Now you can understand how important it is to say the name on the Rosh Chodesh. Yes, we use the root vowel to be safe. Eventually, we will use these four letters with all 10 vowels, as taught in the Sefer Yetzirah, to create rectification on the lowest level of creation. That part of creation that our soul root is responsible for. Please note that the Ruach, that the 256 number above represents the Resh Nun Vav, which represents a gematria of 256. Remember the idea of the wing. Just like the idea of a foot represents small feet. That's the end of section 2. Are there any questions?
Well, I'm not sure I know how to ask, but this reminds me of the prayer at the bedtime Shema related to the four deaths.
That is correct.
That had to do with each letter. Two of them have to do, one has to do with tefillin, and I've forgotten what the other one, but it always makes me think that that's a male thing. If a woman doesn't, you know, wear tefillin.
Well, a woman doesn't need to wear tefillin because she's already connecting to those higher worlds.
Okay, so does it mean on those two lines of the prayer that it doesn't relate to the woman specifically? I mean, it's like two. I have to have it in front of me and I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, in order to talk about that, we would both need to have it in front of us.
Okay. Well, just so I know it's related to this, because I don't know a whole lot about it. I just happened to be in a bookstore and opened up a prayer book, and there it was. And I think it had been mentioned in one of the other classes, and it just jumped out at me. So, so anyway, it's not in most prayer books. Neither is the Anabakoach, which is also related to that as well. So I guess this is just a beginning to understand. And in time, we'll get more.
And also in time, you will find the time to contemplate the meaning of all that was expressed. But
now, I signed with the Tetragrammaton in what I call the shape of the human body. Really makes it easy to be able to see the Tetragrammaton with all four letters at one time.
I understand. I am familiar with the glyph. But the real question, the real essence of this section is telling us when we read the bracha, the blessings, and we say Baruch Atah Hashem, the word Hashem we would say Adonai. But which of the worlds is that blessing related to? Now, I have been teaching you all to say, when you say Adonai, to also say Yohewahe, using the root vowel. But in reality, I need to be saying Yoada Heyo Wa'awa Heyo. For if I am saying a blessing that is connecting to the world of Atzilut, but if I'm connecting to a different world, I need to say a different sequence of the 10 letters or the 9 letters if it's Asiyah. And knowing that, which mitzvah that I'm saying the blessing for, which world it relates to, is very much part of the teachings, but it will never be presented to you in a simple, straightforward fashion. It will only be taught to you through the contemplation associated with the Sefer Yetzirah meditations.
Well, that sounded like the Ma meditation.
No, the one that I just said was Atzilut. But yes, the Ma meditation that we do during the 45 days from Tu B'Av to Rosh Hashanah is the Ma meditation is we were dealing with a level of Zerantim. If we put it on the levels of Gematria, you have 72, 63, 45, and then you grow back up to 52.
Mm-hmm.
But you go from 10 letters in the Ma meditation to 9 letters in the 52 in the Malhut meditation. And you have to be learning this through the meditations to go deeper into the Kabbalah. It's not necessarily that you have to do that in this lifetime. But this is in order to call upon Hashem's name, that one time a year in the Holy of Holies, we have to be very clear how to call on the name. And when the chaos begins at the severest levels, we would need to know how to call upon the name properly. And in the Shoah, there were people who knew how to call upon the name. And even though they were in the Shoah and in the concentration camps, they were able to do things because they called on the name properly. They were able to transform. They could disappear if they needed to. There are stories told about the escapes of some of the Rebbes who ended up in New York, who were given the task of resurrecting the Jewish database, so to speak, the Jewish world that was lost to the Shoah. And they settled, you know, there's so many different Rebbes that were settling in New York City, in the New York area, and down into Lakewood, New Jersey, that this information was made available, but only to the select few. And what Rabbi Berg and his wife did was open that information up, but he only taught to a certain level. And when that level, for me, when I reached that level and I wanted more, I wasn't able to find it within the Kabbalah Center, and I had to find other teachers. But this section is a very important hint to what you need to be doing within your meditations. I'm going to leave the class here because I think we've covered quite a bit.
It
needs to be contemplated.
I think that last verse of Psalm 91 that we say at the bedtime Shema too, where Hashem answers us back. I mean, the last few lines of Hashem talking back to us also relates
correct
to his name. So you need to really, you know, most of the time late at night we're sleepy and we're tired and we do it quickly, and but this particular section, really, to me, I can see everything in the bedtime Shema, so you could take time and break it apart.
Exactly why the bedtime Shema is so important.
Mm-hmm. Can you start an hour before you get sleepy? Oh.
I'll put it in perspective for you. The morning prayer of Shacharit, when I first started to learn, it would take me about 6 hours. Because I was reading the Hebrew so slowly. And as I became more proficient, it would go drop down to 2 or 3 hours. But in reality, as you grow more proficient, it should still take you the same length of time. It should still take the 6 hours. Because we do meditations and we do intertwinings. And when we see a tetragrammaton in a blessing of the Amidah, we're looking at the different spellings and we need to understand which world we're connecting to. Otherwise, we don't really know what we're doing in the prayers. But all we can do is the best that we have learned based on whatever level we have reached. And it's a lot easier to do those kinds of prayers as after you retire than it is when you're running around trying to earn a living and raise your family and be involved with all the different responsibilities that you have. But at some point, you'll pull it all together and it will be amazing. I don't know if it's this lifetime or the next 20, but it will be amazing.
Well, if it's the next, let's not wait until I'm 70 when I meet you.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying, that we're going to do it when we're teens or preteens.
And now you begin to see you begin to see how onerous Satan is and how efficient he is at his job of lengthening the process. Because you have people born into frum lives, into the Orthodox community, that are taught to pray at 3 years old, but then they're sidetracked into the Talmud and into the Gemara without ever getting to these kind of teachings of the Sefer Yetzirah. And when you get to an Orthodox man who's been praying for 50 years, since he's 3 years old, he's been praying, and he's rushing through the prayers because he never was taught to slow down and do the meditations. And what is the purpose of Satan is to lengthen the process, and you see how effective he's doing it. Today, once a child reaches 7, 8, 9 years old, they're teaching them Gemara. They're not teaching him the prophets. If you read the prophets and you see Hashem's name, which Sephirah is it, which world is it connected to? And when you say Adonai, are you saying Yud Vav Dalet? Hey Yud, or are you saying Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Hey, or Hey Aleph? And each one in each prophet's writings, we have to contemplate and learn what is the proper way to say that name in that context. And yes, it's overwhelming, but that's why he's giving us 1,000 lifetimes or more to learn this. Are there any questions? Well, I made everything as clear as mud, like normal. You all have a beautiful evening. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.